shoes will just be filled up. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I just watched God do it. I was preaching the revival I was preaching right before I came here. I was preaching in Laurel, Mississippi for Brother Jerry Rowley. He's been here before. And the Holy Ghost was just dealing with him and me. And we started having revival and preached one Sunday morning. And man, very put together young man, his wife, came to the altar. God began to touch him. And he started crying, started asking the Lord to forgive him for all of his sins. And he got up and he looked at me. He said, I don't know what I'm feeling. So I do. It's the Holy Ghost. And he said, and I told him, I said, you know, you've repented of your sins. You need to get baptized in Jesus' name. He said, well, I want to do it. I said, good. And I'm just, this is just my way. Here's water. What doth hinder you? Let's do it right now. And he said, I don't want to do it now. I said, well, why not? He said, because I want my family to be here. And I'm telling you, that Sunday, the next Sunday when that young man went to get baptized, he walked in with his wife and children. They filled up a row. The row behind them filled up. The row behind them filled up. The row behind them filled up. 4.5 rows of people walked in. Over 70 people to see one person get baptized. And I'm here to tell you tonight that a lot of that 70 has got baptized as well. They've been filled with the Holy Ghost. They've been in Bible study, and now they're living for God. They came out of false doctrine. You can't tell me God doesn't still do it. I've done seen him do it. You don't even know. That next Bible study you teach could be the one that's going to unlock an entire section full of people that are going to come and get baptized and get full of the Holy Ghost. And they're going to shake this city. I just believe the next one. Look at somebody and say, it's the next one. Well, what if it's not the next one? Well, then it's the next one. Well, what if it ain't them either? Well, then it's the next one. And if you keep that ideology, the next thing you know, you're the one that done filled up a whole section. Oh, y'all ain't gonna help me preach on a Wednesday night. So the next thing you know, you done won 100 people to God just looking for the one that could win your city. I'm telling you, you got power on the inside of you to change this world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 6. I better preach before I get all ahead of myself. Bishop, I love you. Give you honor, double, triple, quadruple honor. Man among men. Man that I strive to be like. And I'm telling you, I want a little bit of him in my ministry. And amen. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. It came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. Anybody ever read this story before? Show me by the lifting of your hands. Read the story? Some of y'all don't even know what I'm reading about, and you're just raising because you don't want anybody to know you ain't read it. Hey, well, if you've read the story, you know the tragedy of what happens from here. The Bible says, and there was a great famine in Syria. I haven't preached it yet, but I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost has been dealing with you about how famine sets us up for favor. So you just get ready. That's coming down the pipe. But there was a great famine in Syria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver and a fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Look at somebody say, gross. Amen. If God will help us tonight, I want to preach just for the next few moments. Don't let the donkey die. Don't let the donkey die. Would you help me right now by lifting your hands and your voice to heaven, asking the Lord to move in this place? God, we love you. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you thanks. There's nobody like you, Jesus. Oh, come on, don't just clap your hands, but lift your voice with me. Let's pray together. Come on, somebody ought to just start calling a backslider's name right now. Somebody ought to start calling a lost family member's name right now. Woo! You ought to start calling somebody's name on your job in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated in the fear of the Lord. Again, if you know the story, if you've read it, you understand the backdrop of the story. It begins as Elisha is surrounded by the Syrian army. He prays and they are struck with blindness, and then he leads them to Samaria, and Jehoram the king is commanded by the prophet to be diligent unto them. And so he fed them and sent them on their way. And Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, is enraged because every time he thinks he has the upper hand on God's people, somehow, some way, he fails. Every time he thinks he's finally got God's people where there's no way that they can make it out, somehow something falls through the cracks and God's people prevail once again. I'm just going to tell you today that persona of God is still alive in his church today. That thing about God that says no matter how down they get, no matter how out they get, you're not going to take out my church, that's still operating today. I'm here to tell you on a Wednesday night that God's church is not going down, but God's church is going to keep going up. Well, help me, Jesus. I know some of you wanted a lot bigger reason to shout tonight. I know you were wanting me to prophesy to you and tell you you were going to get a $10,000 check in the mail. But let me tell you, whether you get that check or not, honey, you got a reason to shout because you're a part of the church, and the church ain't going down. The church is going up. The church will not, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Woo, I'm glad to know tonight I'm a part of the greatest thing on this side of heaven. We might be down, but we're never out of this game because we got the power of God in us. And greater is he that worketh in me than he that's in the world. It don't matter what the devil does. God's still going to be victorious. I wish somebody just shout victory. Woo, hallelujah. And so now Ben-Hadad has sent possibly the same men that had been fed by King Jehoram to besiege his city. He has placed his army all around the city of Samaria. Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel for this time, was located up on a hilltop to the main north-south mountain trade route across Palestine. And this hilltop was approximately 20 acres in size and about 300 feet above the local terrain. And they had cisterns to store water. And the city's population about this time is 20 to 30,000 people. And it's a very wealthy city. It's one of the main structures of the city was an ivory house built by Ahab, and you can go through and see exactly that there is a reason they are attacking Samaria. Samaria is not the side of the city, I guess you could say, that was what we would consider the wrong side of the tracks. It was not that kind of place. It wasn't the kind of place that you lived in if you was poor. If you had money, you went to Samaria. If you were well-to-do, you lived in Samaria. And now, because of this well-fortified city, because of this city that is walled and ringed on an inner wall as well as an outer wall, about 5 feet thick apiece, due to such preparations, sieges commonly lasted years. This one, approximately 3 years. And Ben-Hadad has finally succeeded as he has Jehoram, the son of Ahab, in a place where he cannot escape. He has caused them to give up all hope, and they are to the point that King Jehoram has rent his kingly garments and has put on sackcloth and has went as far as threatening the man of God. Let me just pause from this momentarily and say, it's amazing to me how when people get in a bind, the first thing they do is blame the preacher. Ooh, amen or oh me. Well, if he hadn't started preaching all this revival business, I wouldn't be going through what I'm going through. I imagine this was a time of much frustration in each and every home that was usually quiet and peaceful. The Bible makes reference of the severity of this famine by stating that the head of a donkey was sold for 80 pieces of silver, and that dove's dung was sold for 5 pieces of silver. It is a bad time in Samaria, but there is something significant here about the two things that are sold for such an outlandish price. You see, donkeys were listed on the do not eat list because it did not have the split hoof and it did not chew the cud, simply because God had ordained the donkey to be a beast of burden. But even greater than that, it was a beast of travel. It was how you got from point A to point B. It was how you made sure that you checked on your riches if you were a rich man. It's how you got to see your investments if you were a businessman, to get from point A to point B. And it's in this time of besiegement that they have lost their will to keep the beast of travel alive. They have killed the beast of travel because they have accepted the fact that they would die in survival mode. But I've come to preach one point tonight, and that point is simply this: we cannot afford to kill the beast of travel. We cannot afford to kill the thing that is going to get us from here to there. In a type, it is like having a vision. Can I preach to somebody tonight that the devil has you convinced that you're going to die in Samaria? You might as well kill the beast of travel. Don't let the donkey die. I've come to preach to somebody tonight that the devil's tried to tell you you might as well give up. You're never going to go to the next level. You're never going to live in a higher dimension. But I came to preach to you, don't let the donkey die. Don't you give up on your vision. Don't you give up on... I'm telling this church right now, you're going places. You're not going to die in Samaria. This is not the last place you'll ever be. God called you to be a church on the move. Don't you let the devil convince you to sit down and to do without. Don't let the donkey die. Don't let the beast of travel die. You got to get up and you got to go somewhere. Hallelujah. Without a doubt, Samaria at one time was a place. We know, and I don't have time to preach all of the, I don't want to give you all the statistics of how much money was there and how much trade was there, but understand that Samaria was a trade city, and because of that, there would be many donkeys there. And so it had been a while since they had got to this place. It was their last resort. It was their last straw that said, we will hold on because we're looking for a day that we're going to get out of this place that we're in. But somebody convinced them that beast of travel is better off in the graveyard than it is out in your barn. I come to tell somebody, I don't care how bad it gets, you're not going to be here forever, and your vision is not doing you any good in the graveyard. Your vision, your God, the places that you're going, the dreams of where you want to go, it's not going to do you any good in a graveyard. You need to go back out there, and when everybody says kill the vision, you need to look them square in the eye and say no, because I won't die in Samaria. I'm going somewhere. I'm not gonna stay here forever. I'm gonna do something for God. After a time of being under siege, they start killing their own vision. Can I tell you today that some people are in the donkey killing business? Every time you reach out by faith, they're gonna be standing there trying to discourage you and tell you that you might as well give up on your children. You might as well give up on your blessings. You might as well give up on favor. You might as well give up on revival. But I come to tell somebody today, I don't care what you do, you're not getting my donkey. That's my vision. That's how I'm going to get from here to there. The man of God gave me a word, and I don't care what you think, what you say, I'm going to keep on holding on. If everybody else in Samaria starts eating their vision because they think that's the only way that they're going to survive, then I'm going to just let them do what they got to do. But as for me, I made up my mind a long time ago. I refuse to let go of what God told me was going to come to pass. You need to silence those voices in your life that say you need to stop believing God. You need to silence those voices in your life that say it's been like this for too long. There's no way God could do anything about it. There's no way God can bring you out. There's no way you'll ever get out of Samaria. You might as well kill the vision. No, honey, I made up my mind. Say, preacher, you're driving this point to death. You can say what you want to, but I came with somebody tonight because you made up in your mind when you came to church tonight, this is the last straw. If I don't get a word that I'm going to be able to get out of Samaria, I might as well kill the vision. I'll never make it. I'll never get out of this. I come to tell you tonight, yes, you will. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. You're going to make it. Well, what about what the church down the road did? I don't give two red cents what the church down the road did. At this church, we're not killing the vision. We're not getting rid of the beasts of travel. We're going to go somewhere. Something happens when God's people accept defeat and start killing the beasts of travel. If you'll take me back to my text, 2 Kings chapter 6, let's pick up in verse 26 and see what's happening. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help, my lord, O king." Next verse. And he said, "If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor," understand, it's a famine. "Out of the barn floor, out of the wine press." Go to the next verse. "And the king said unto her, what has," so listen, I probably can't fix it, but just for kicks and giggles, let's hear what you got to say. "What aileth thee?" And she answered, this is what happens when you kill the beast of travel. This is what happens when you get rid of your vision. "The woman said unto me," this woman said unto me, "give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow." Go through this. "So we bought my son and did eat him." Your neighbor say, that's messed up. "And I said unto her," see, that wasn't even the problem. It wasn't the problem that my baby's dead. Now the problem is "I said unto her the next day, give thy son that we may eat him, and she hath hid her son." That's why this young lady was mad. You see, when you start getting rid of the beast of vision, the next, anybody know in typology that children are a type of revival? As you start killing your own revival, and then once your own revival's dead, that doesn't make you happy. So you got to start killing everybody else's. When you get rid of your vision, you won't be happy as long as somebody else is prospering. And so you'll do everything that you can to try to stop them. But I'm here to tell you tonight that it's not too late. You don't have to lose your revival. You don't have to lose your baby because
I know the devil tried to convince you it was time to quit, but I've looked through this Bible front to back with the help of the Lord. I've read through this thing 19 times in the last 19 years, and I ain't found one place, Bishop, where God said it's okay. You can sit down and quit because you had a bad day or you've been in Samaria for too long. I've heard preachers preach my whole life, if anybody had a right to quit, Job had a right to quit. I don't believe that hogwash. There ain't nothing in that Bible that ever said I got a reason to give up on my miracle, to give up on my blessing, to give up on my walk with God. I refuse to kill the donkey. I'm not going to let the devil steal my vision. I'm not going to let the devil steal my breakthrough. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. Somebody ought to take about 15 seconds and just shout and let the devil know, I'm going to make it. I'm not getting rid of my vision. I'm not getting rid of the burden.
I know what a siege is, trust me. I know what it's like to be in besiegement. A siege is when nothing comes in, Brother Antoine, and nothing goes out. And I know what it's like to be there where I prayed and it felt like I didn't get my prayer out of the room. And then I waited on the Lord and I didn't get an answer back. So I went back to church. I'm living in Samaria. I've been blessed. I've got the favor of God, but now nothing's going out and nothing's coming in. God, where are you in the middle of this mess? But in that, I've got to bring myself to the revelation that the trouble don't last always, and the besiegement don't last always, and that my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory.
I didn't read this part of the story because, help me, Jesus. But if you back up a little bit, or if you go on a little bit, you'll find that there's a man of God that gets a word from God. And he says, tomorrow, about this time, you see, this famine that you've been dealing with, it's going to come to an end tomorrow, about this time. I know you've done gave up. I know you've done thrown in the towel. You hear me, saint of God. I know you've done said there's no way that it'll ever happen. God can't put my marriage back together again. God can't fix my finance. I've got too much turmoil going on in my mind. But God sent me to tell you that tomorrow about this time, you need to look for a miracle because God's going to. Everything that the devil meant for evil, God's going to turn it around and he's going to work it out for your good. You might be on the verge of backsliding, but honey, whatever you do, don't you let the donkey die. You're not going to stay here forever. God is a delivering God.
See, oh, I wish I had time to preach all of this. If you start killing the donkey, there's going to be a day and a time that the Lord is going to come to town. And he said, I'm not coming on some high and mighty steed. I'm not coming the way men think I'm coming, but I'm coming on a beast of travel, Bishop. I'm not coming in a chariot, and I'm not coming in a whirlwind, but when I come into the city, and when there's people that are singing Hosanna, 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 and they're waving the palm branches, and they're waving the olive branches, I'm coming in by a beast of vision. I'm coming in by a beast of I'm coming in by a beast of travel, and I come to tell somebody tonight, if you want Jesus to come in, you can't afford to kill the donkey. You can't afford to kill the vision, because that's how he's coming. He ain't coming through your ideas. He ain't coming through your bank account. He ain't coming through your
He ain't coming through no other way but because you got a vision and you said, devil, you can't have it. It belongs to me. That's my blessing. That's my. God said, now I got a way to come in. Now I got a way to show up. Now I got a way to make my triumphal entry.
Everybody mad because Jesus ain't coming when you done killed the beast of travel. Oh, help me, Jesus. Don't get mad when Jesus don't show up when you done killed your vision. Don't get mad when Jesus don't show up when you stop believing in revival. Don't get mad when Jesus don't show up and you stop believing in giving and you stop believing in prayer and you stop believing in worship and you stop believing in everything that's going to get you from here to there. Don't you let the donkey die. That's how Jesus is coming.
I don't know. I don't know what you're going through. I don't have to know. This one thing I do know. As long as you got a vision, as long, I'm going to tell you, he said he wouldn't leave us without a way of escape. I'm going to tell you what that way of escape is. It's the vision that you've been keeping out back in the barn. You didn't think much about it when everything was going good. You wasn't thinking much about the donkey as long as you had a little bit of money in your pocket. But when everything went wrong, that's the first thing the devil tried to get you to kill, because he knows if he gets your vision, then he gets your child. He gets your revival. Without a vision, the people perish. But I just feel like there's somebody here tonight that says, no, devil, you can't have it. You can't have it. You can't have my vision.
I am. Can I give you some McNary County preaching for a minute? When I was a kid, Brother Jermaine, I loved getting my daddy's four-wheel drive pickup and go get in a muddy field and just tear it all to bits. And we used to, when I was a kid, we used to go to the mud races. Anybody ever been to a mud race? That's fun, boy. That'd make you want to jump up and down, turn cartwheels and everything. It's fun. And when you get started, you see, when you get started in a mud race, is you got to rev your engine up real high. You got the clutch in. And all the ground around you is slick, and so it takes a little while. And when that light turns from red to green, you dump the clutch. Any country boys here know what I'm talking about when I say dump the clutch? Some of y'all do. Some of y'all ladies know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all kids ain't ever seen a standard in your life. You wouldn't know one if it drove up right now. They don't even make them no more, hardly. But you dump the clutch, Bishop, and it takes a minute, because all of that force and energy can't get any traction. I told you I was going to preach like I'm from McNary County now. All of that force, all that torque and horsepower, it's grabbing, but the ground's just leaving under it. I'm here to preach to somebody right now and tell you, you're just in the rev up stage. You done popped the clutch and you're looking around saying, what's happening? We ain't moving. What you don't realize is you're moving so fast that the ground can't keep up. You moving so fast, baby, that what's under you can't keep up with what's inside of you. You just put the pedal to the metal, baby, and let's go. Let's have revival. Let's hold on to the bit. Well, we've been here this long and ain't nothing happened yet. Grab another gear, honey, and keep on believing. Keep on standing. Keep on having revival. Keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you're not gonna kill my donkey. See, these very men that have surrounded them. I don't have the time to preach everything I want to preach right now. Are the very men that have got fried chicken, pork chops, collard greens, black-eyed peas. They got it all stacked up. Now, I want to try to give you a small revelation that God gave me a long time ago. There's a famine in the land. Could it be that God let them besiege you for just a little while because he knew that the famine was coming? And if the Assyrians wasn't there for you to take the spoils of war, you might starve to death. But God said, I'm going to take the enemy, and I'm going to park the enemy right down the road. And I'm going to let you go through a little trial and a little test. But when you come out of Samaria, when you keep on holding on to your vision, when you keep on believing God, it's going to make a way. I'm going to take the devil and make the devil bless you. I'm going to make the devil feed you. I'm going to make the devil clothe you. I'm going to make the devil give you your miracle back. Can you imagine what was going through the minds of the people of God when they've been set up? Now, I don't know how this besiegement stuff worked, but something in me believes that every night when the Assyrians cooked that fried chicken, Brother Antoine, they made sure that the wind was blowing just the right direction to take it up. And now, this is just my imagination. This is what I learned in Sunday school, okay? Sunday school can give you some good stuff, and it can mess you up sometimes. They gave me a card to use my imagination. That was the wrong thing to do. But I can just picture it. They's cooking, making sure that the people up there in Samaria could smell what was going on. And I just wonder, this is just me wondering, when the man of God said tomorrow about this time, you know preachers love chicken, if he ain't just smelled a good old whiff. Y'all know what a whiff is in Birmingham? Yeah. All right, good. We still in, I know we in the city, but we still in the South, praise God. He got him a whiff of fried chicken. And he said, let me just tell y'all, tomorrow about this time, all the stuff they've been doing to torment us, it's going to turn around. And while they're sitting out there, because it's a famine in the land, they can't just run to Walmart and get more food, honey. There's a famine in the land, and the devil's been storing all kind of stuff up. And God said, thank you, Mr. Devil. I wanted that for my people. Oh, you ain't hearing me. I'm telling somebody right now that everything that the devil's been waving under your nose and flaunting in front of you and saying, don't you wish you had this miracle? Don't you wish this how you had this blessing because you held on to your vision? I'm telling you, God's gonna make the devil bless you. The prosperity of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. God's gonna make the devil show up. Say, this ain't what I wanted to do, but I'm gonna have to give them their revival back. I'm gonna have to give them their favor back. I'm telling somebody tonight, don't you kill the donkey, because it's how you're gonna get out of here. Hey, somebody ought to tear out of their pew right now and just lift their hands and say, whatever it takes, I'm not letting go of my vision. I'm not letting go of my blessing. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. I know it's Wednesday night, you're tired, and you showed up, honey, you look real cute, but I'm telling somebody right now, you ought to get violent with the devil and say, you, sir, are not getting my vision. I know this ain't for everybody right now, but this is for somebody that's been in besiegement, and you've been locked up, tied up, tangled up. Yeah, go ahead, brother, it's time somebody step out and say, no, devil, not today. You're not getting my miracle today. You're not getting my blessing today. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Somebody ought to praise him for the vision. Somebody ought to praise him for the miracle. Somebody ought to give God a shout. Thank you.
waiting on somebody else. You don't need to wait on somebody else, honey. You need to step out. You don't need to wait on your neighbor, the one in front of you, behind you. You need to step out and get your miracle. Step out and get your blessing. Step out and get your breakthrough. Yeah.
Has stole. Now, I'm not just talking about your money. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about your vision. I'm talking about the thing that you saw yourself doing that you no longer believe you can do. I don't care if it's in your business, it's in your family, whatever it is. If the devil has stole that vision from you, I just want you right now to lift your hands and to just start picking up one foot and putting it down on top of the devil's head and say, I am not leaving my vision. I am not leaving what God promised me. I'm not gonna let go.
I got the picture.
Yeah.
I'm
Come on, you ought to shout. There's somebody over here talking in tongues for the first time in Jesus' name. Come on, we got a reason to shout. The vision's still alive. The vision's still alive. The vision's still alive. Come on, put him where he belongs.
Praise the Lord in this atmosphere of worship while they're singing. I want you to reach over, lay your hand on somebody by you. And I want you to pray an anointing on them. Pray for them that they'll be effective in the harvest. That they'll be wise to win souls. That they'll be God's cultivated field. That they'll be a vineyard that brings forth good fruit. Pray for them that God will give them the word to say, the place to be, the anointing to walk in, so that they touch somebody for the kingdom of God. Pray for them with passion tonight. Pray for them and talk in tongues while you pray for them. Shake them a little bit while you pray for them. Tell them to go forth and win the kingdom of God. Be a harvester in the house and in the city. Pray for them and have a net filled up with fish. Hallelujah. 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 Well, praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'd be looking to see around 8 o'clock tomorrow night if something outrageous just might be going on. I heard a word in the house that said, about this time tomorrow. And I'll just tell you, check your clock. Check it about 8 o'clock and see what's going on. About this time tomorrow, it may be that God's going to open up the windows of heaven. Ah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Octavia, we're so glad for God pouring out the Spirit tonight. Refreshing and renewing. Praise God. We got two brand new people in the house. I don't know if you met them or not tonight. We got Grandma Hurst and Grandpa Hurst. They've never been to church before. Not in this season they hadn't. Praise God. So I forgot what you're going to be, me or whatever. You're going to be whatever that baby says you are. And that's what you're going to be. And it can be really interesting. I feel an anointing and a depth of the Spirit of God moving in this house tonight. And I believe God has something outrageous ready. I believe God wants to pour out something outrageously wonderful on you and on your ministry and on your life. God bless you. Share your victory with somebody before you make your way out tonight.